Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Good morning, you're very welcome to the show. And for anyone who's expecting a kind of a quiet week between the St. Patrick's Day festivities and Easter, it's the quiet ones you have to watch. So obviously it turned out to be a very eventful week, and no surprises that the front pages of the papers today are dominated by two people, the future Queen of England and the future Taoiseach of Ireland. So the Irish Independent has a load of lines here on the front page. Ministers to get election ultimatum from Harris. So they're saying Simon Harris will demand ministers, including Pascal Donoghue and Simon Coveney, run for Fine Gael in the general election if they are to remain in the current cabinet and not to be... not to be conspiracy theorising, but the first mention I heard of that was when Ivan Yates seemed to float it on primetime the other night, just saying. The Irish Independent also understands that Simon Harris has promised Minister Heather Humphreys the party's deputy leader role if she doesn't challenge him. They liken them inside that their relationship is like mother and son. I don't think either of them would be thanking them for that. And he has also asked exiled Kate O'Connell to return to the fold and run for election once again, according to this. And there are very warm comments inside from Kate O'Connell about Simon Harris. Also mention of Brendan Griffin, who is supposed to be leaving, might have to be made an offer he can't refuse, in their words. The Irish Times is... leading with the terrorist attack in Moscow and telling thing they had at least 40 dead when this went to print, and as you heard in the news there now, 115. But they do have a picture at the top of the page of Simon Harris in Lucan yesterday, and Frances Fitzgerald MEP is there looking very happy next to him, and she was of course an early mentor of his. The Examiner reshuffled Jeopardy for Coveney, so they're saying speculation is mounting around Simon Coveney's future. They're also mentioning Brendan Griffin, they're mentioning maybe Kieran Cannon, who had barely just announced his departure, being urged to run in the next election. So all going on there. And then the rest of the papers are all Princess Kate Middleton, the Mirror, Kate, I have cancer. It has taken us time to explain and reassure our children. The Star, Kate, I've got cancer, future UK Queen on chemo after shock diagnosis. The Sun, Kate, you are not alone. That was her message to other sufferers of cancer. The Irish Daily Mail, I am well and getting stronger every day. I'm going to be okay. The Guardian, Princess of Wales receiving chemotherapy treatment. The Times, Princess reveals her cancer and says, I'm going to be okay. And the Daily Telegraph, cancer came as a huge shock. So quite straightforward, almost restrained headlines on the English papers there. We'll come back to Princess Kate, but let's focus on local matters for a little bit first. Ir Taoiseach, Bertie Ahern, good morning.
Morning to you, Brendan.
And you're very welcome to the show. Busy week in the parish, so... On Wednesday, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar resigned, big surprise to everyone. But then, kind of within 24 hours, Fine Gael had another Taoiseach ready and waiting in Simon Harris. If we go back to Wednesday, just after noon first, what was your reaction to Leo Varadkar's announcement? Were you surprised?
I was very surprised. I thought that he would definitely fight the next election. Everything, if you look back over the last 12 months, it seemed as if he would fight the election. And, you know, I didn't think he'd stay around in the long term. I mean, Leo has made it, I think, clear that he was going to be out of it by 50. And my feeling was that he would fight the election, see where it went, maybe stay around for a while and then go. But
pulling, so what do you think of the timing of this then?
Well,
good or bad timing?
It's a very short period. But, you know, I suppose if you look at it from his point of view, he's given us, you know, 15 years, most 17 years, but most of that time he's been in office. He obviously felt he wasn't the right person for it. It requires a lot of energy. It requires to be at it every day and all day, every day. He obviously felt that wasn't for him. And he looked out for what was ahead of him. It's a tough year of elections. Within 12 months, you have a local, you have a European, you have a general election. And he obviously felt that wasn't for him. It doesn't doesn't give the new government, because it is a new government under the constitution. Once the Taoiseach goes, everybody goes. So it's a new sheet of paper. So a new government has to be elected, and you know that puts pressure on for Simon Harris. But in fairness, can I say to the Taoiseach, I think he did a good job. He did good service. From my point of view, because I had a lot of dealings with him on Northern Ireland, he fought through the whole campaign, the backstop, the protocol, the Windsor Agreement, the institutions are back up. He stayed loyal to the Good Friday Agreement. He took a lot of pressure on that. And I think he did a very good job on it. And he and the people who were around him at that time, I had a lot of dealings with them, and I take my hat off to them. He also did the early days of the COVID. I mean, he had to make all the announcements. The emergency payments was all done in that March, April, May period. Micheál Martin continued it on then very successfully. And I think on international issues, on Gaza, he's been to the forefront in that throughout the last 6 or 7 months.
We didn't hear more of those kind of tributes from his political colleagues and opponents.
Yeah, I would have liked to hear more of them. I think particularly on the one I suppose I have a passionate interest in is Northern Ireland. But he gave a huge amount of time through making sure that we didn't have a land border back. You remember all the battles with the Tories, all the difficulties he had. He got Boris on side. Boris went offside nearly as quick, which wasn't Leo's fault. And I think, you know, we got the institutions back up and run, but he deserves a lot of credit for the time and commitment he put into that. And I'm not sure he was getting that during the week.
Okay. So moving on then, as everyone did very quickly, your observations on how Simon Harris's ascension played out?
Well, it was incredible and so quick. I immediately thought, like I suppose everyone, you turn your mind and to who was going to be the runners and riders. And there seemed to be a lot of them. There seemed to be four or five candidates that I thought all had a lot of credibility. I think Fine Gael were pretty lucky that they had a number of candidates that they could put up. But I did not think they would all just fall out so quick. And effectively, by the time Morning Ireland ended, the following morning, 20 hours after Leo announced his retirement, the game was over.
And why do you think they all fell out? Why did no one else want it?
I think, obviously, I suppose people look at the job now. If you haven't got it in your gut to give it, you know, 365 days a year and 18 hours a day, and I'm not too sure there's many people want to do that. I mean, I had the honour and pleasure of doing it, but I think when people, and particularly people who've been in the cabinet for 13 years, and they see what's involved, and they see the commitment, and they probably see the abuse too. I didn't have to deal with social media as much in my day, because it wasn't as big, but apparently it is now for people in office. So I think a lot of them just didn't want it. And obviously, Simon Harris had done the groundwork. His plan was very simple. His plan was exactly what Leo did on Simon Coveney a number of years ago. He had everything lined up. And Simon Coveney, who gave great service and did a great job at that time, and we all thought maybe he would be elected. But this time, I think Simon Harris had his ducks all lined up in a row very quickly and amazingly quickly.
We've heard a lot in this week that he is a great communicator and has great energy. You already did mention the energy required. Are they the key attributes for a Taoiseach, or what are the key skills you need?
I think communication is a big one, and he's good at that. I think nobody has said otherwise, and I think he's very good at doing that. You require energy, and he also has, as I understand it, I didn't serve with him in government because it's after my time, but he has that attention to detail, and I think you really need that. He doesn't have the international experience or the experience on the north, but Micheál Martin is still there, so for the next year at least, he doesn't have to worry too much about that, because Micheál Martin is a taskmaster at it. So, and if I was him, I wouldn't take this as a sprint. I mean, he's going to be around for 10 years. He's time to build it up. I don't go with this thing that he has to, you know, turn Fine Gael's fortune around in June in the local elections. I think that's an unreasonable state asked him to do. He'd obviously want to be doing well in the election. My own feeling is, Brendan, the election now would probably drift into 2025. I mean, Leo wanted to go in October. I think everyone knew that. I think probably it'll be pushed out now.
OK, so when do you think it will be, when, and when do you think it should be?
Well, I think if I was, I always went the full term, but I always avoided the winter. I wasn't one for January, February elections. So the government have an option. They either go in the autumn, October, early November, or they go to February. Now, the thing about February is there's been a lot of comment during the week. The election can be up to the 25th. Under the Electoral Act, it has to be 92 Electoral Act, Asia, has to be 5 years from the day that all met, which is about 25th or 22nd of March. But if you take St. Patrick's period out of that, which is 2 weeks, and you have a 3 weeks period, and a week after the election, we're waiting for the counts, and there's always some count that goes on, even though it didn't happen the last time. You're talking about an election having to be called about the 1st of February, an election somewhere in around that third week of February. That means that the campaign starts on after the 6th of January, since Christmas is over. It makes for a long campaign. So I think if that's the call, that people want to go full term, and I think that's what they will do now, you do have the benefit of whatever comes out of the budget takes effect from the 1st of January. That's obviously a consideration. So it means we have a long campaign, January and February through the winter. And, you know, it can be anything can happen in January, February, as Michael O'Leary found out one time.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of speculation today now in the papers about the reshuffle, and indeed we'd moved on to that with kind of indecent haste as well. Should he minimise disruption and just kind of keep things ticking over, or does he have to do a major kind of reshuffle to...
Well, I think the media may tell him do a major cut because they say you have to come in and show your teeth. The thing about that, it's always the hardest job as Taoiseach. If you, and now with three parties in government, it's limited anyway. The only certainty he has is his own job, so he can fill his own post. That's one job. After that, you're having to shift somebody, and it's somebody from his own side. And you're talking about very big people and very able people. Pascal Donoghue, who I think was probably the popular choice to run and to be Taoiseach if Leo went, he has the Euro job. That's a huge job, for the country. To throw away the Euro job wouldn't make any sense to me, to be quite frank. He's not alone, is he, a very good minister, popular minister of finance and public expenditure, all through difficult years.
Possibly not as popular in the party, some people think, as he might be outside of the party.
Yeah, but I think if you move somebody like him... you know, if you're looking at the polls and you want to build up your vote, do you start by getting rid of somebody who carries a huge vote outside? That doesn't add up for me. So I've been covering a huge experience, played a big part of Brexit. I do agree, but when you said earlier on about the Ivan Yates thing, I had faced this position that I did say to my ministers, anyone who's definitely not standing, you must tell me. And you're out. And I don't want to mention the people, but I had two of the people then went. And for that reason alone, not because of their ability, not because of the job they were doing, but they had told me they were not standing. So I think that's a fair call. If you're saying to somebody, you're not standing in an election that's now under, well, effectively Christmas, because that's the reality. The gun is shot at Christmas and the election starts. So you're not staying on, then what's the point in being in cabinet? So that gives them options. The other side, Brendan, but if you drop big names who are going to stand in the next election and you drop them out, there's every possibility they mightn't run in the next election. So you have to be very careful about that.
Simon Harris has mentioned a few times now listening to people. There's talk, and you can see it as well in the people talking in various pieces in the papers today, that there seems to be a feeling among some in Fine Gael anyway, that they need to go back to core values, work on solving people's basic problems. Are politicians worried after the referendums that they're out of touch, do you think?
And it's not just the referendum. I think when, from the Fine Gael point of view, and to a lesser extent, I think Fianna Fáil's point of view, but if you've been 13 years in office, there's a whole lot of people should be very grateful for all the good things you've done, but you'll always hear more about all the groups that feel that you didn't do their thing. And that's difficult, you know. And I think Simon Harris has been very good at moving around the country. Like, he has energy, there's no doubt, he's enthusiasm. He's 37. He was born when I was Lord Mayor of Dublin. So, you know, he's been around, you know, a short period, but has put a lot of energy into his 20 years in public life. And, you know, he has that. He was chairman of Wicklow County Council, so he learned a bit of the grassroots of working with councillors. He had a stint in justice, where he was very active in justice. Third level education brought him around. He's done a very good, I must say, the thing I like about him, he really has done a good job at highlighting apprenticeships, that it's not all about third level qualifications, that apprenticeships are big. And he's been very energetic around that. So I think we're going to see him moving back to a lot of those issues of listening to people on the ground and maybe helping people who are a bit less well off and don't have all of the silver spoons in their mouth.
Okay. You clearly have great admiration for him. Do you worry at all about the lack of experience?
I think, you know, it's a tough job, Brendan. It's a tough job. And you have to... I was lucky. I was in at 45. But I'd been in finance. I'd been in Labour for years. I'd been, you know, I'd been Lord Mayor. I'd been in Canada. I was 20 years in the Dáil. But, you know, if he communications, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think that's he marks really strong on that. And he's lucky. I would be more worried if Micheál Martin wasn't there. The fact that he has Micheál Martin to do the international and the North. He doesn't have to worry about the two things where he's weak on.
That relationship will be very important. Like, we've seen how important in this coalition in particular the relationships were, and they've been a bit scrappy maybe at times initially, but it settled down well. And trust has been very important, you can see. Do you think that Simon Harris and Micheál Martin will have that good relationship and have that trust?
Well, they've no alternative, because if he was to go... pushing too much of the Fine Gael line against Micheál Martin, this government is over. He's going to have to work very closely with Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan. I think Micheál Martin will want to see this government going all the way, so he's going to be committed to that. If Simon was to come in and thinking that he can push a Fine Gael agenda, which I don't think he will, then he's in trouble. So I think he has to continue what Leo was doing. It's that unity of government, and it's, if you don't keep that together, I did that for years with Mary Harney, but if you don't do that, the government is goosed. I'm sure his enthusiasm to build a Fine Gael vote, that's why I think this isn't a sprint. I mean, it's a year of what would be a long reign for him. So he has all the attributes, but he just has to be careful that sometimes it is the small things that can trip you up, as Albert said once.
Yeah. Okay, two quick questions that came in on text before you go. One is, listening to Mr. Hearn's obvious admiration for their government partners, only one question: will the two parties merge? And then someone else wondering, what are the odds on a Fianna Fáil Sinn Féin coalition after the next election?
Well, no, the parties won't merge, not in my lifetime, and I hope even after it. My honest opinion is, and the party should go into the government separately. The reason I won in 97 against the head was that the three parties stuck together and marched out. You remember that famous Dick Spring, John Bruton, Punchester Ross marching out together, and they stood as one group, and that allowed me to pick them off. I wouldn't have been able to do it if they hadn't went separately, okay. I think. So if the three parties, I do not believe that it's going to be exactly the same kind of government. Maybe Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, the Greens might be there. Maybe they need somebody else. Maybe one of those parties would drop out.
Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin?
It could happen. I can't see Micheál Martin being very enthusiastic about that, quite frankly. But in the end of the day, And it could have happened the last time. It was for 24 hours. It was Micheál Martin, you know, wasn't so clear the last time. So, but he's no love for Sinn Féin. Let's be frank about it, Brendan, and that's clear. But the people will decide that. The politicians will say everything up until we see the final count. And if the numbers dictate otherwise, then all the things that will be said, it'll be off the Richter scale and they'll have to make it work. And that's exactly what will happen next February.
Okay, Iarthaigh, Bertie Ahern, thank you very much for coming in to us today. We'll take a break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.